Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're just delighted that you're here with us as we seek to worship the Lord this morning in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first one is Happy Father's Day to all the dads here at Cook's. And so we celebrate you. It's weird when, you know, you're a dad and you're up here talking about other dads being celebrated. But way to go, dads, right?
And to you, Pastor Brian.
That's it. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. But we've got more exciting news than that. We've got the Cook's Marketplace this coming Saturday, right, at June 26th starting at 9. Please let your friends and family know. It's a great opportunity to come and see some of the many gifts that we have here at Cook's artistically, as well as meet other folks that like pretty things and other things. The Cook's Adult Choir will start rehearsing again this Wednesday, June 23rd at 6:30 p.m. They're going to rehearse every other week at first, and Charles would like you to know that anyone who would love to join them to make a joyful noise unto the Lord is invited to do so. I can speak from experience that if you have a strong, blendable voice, you are welcome to come. We are blendable, though, right? Mine may not be. We are in need of nursery workers during our Sunday morning worship service. If you'd be willing to give 1 hour of your time once a month to our youngest members, please contact Cheryl in the church office. We also need tech folks. We're really dreadfully thin right now on the ranks of people that can do what Dave List is doing this morning. Please, if you're interested, let me know or contact Cheryl or Dave as you are able. The beautiful flowers in this sanctuary are given this morning in memory of Emmett Thompson. In life, we love you dearly. In death, we love you still. In our hearts, you hold the place no one will ever fill. And that's from your loving family. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is a day of new beginnings.
This is time for growing into new disciples for Jesus.
Come, let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Join me now in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You save us, O Lord, just as you sustain us every single day. Help us to trust in you and to worship, whether we have a lot or a little. May we bring our praise and may it bring you glory. Heavenly Father, take this time, remind us of your love and of your promises. We seek now your presence. We worship you knowing that as two or three are gathered, that you are indeed among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to rise, if you're able, and sing with me hymn number 2 in the red hymn.
Thank you.
First John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and who is just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, I invite you now to join me in our prayer of confession, knowing and trusting in the word of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Am I reading the wrong prayer? Hey, well, that would account for the silence. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to need to confess that goof up too, right? Okay. Patient Lord, you know how we are. We let the frustrations and worries of our lives overcome us. Our hearts seem to buckle under the weight of anger and confusion, and we turn away from you, sure that you can do nothing to alleviate our strife. How foolish we are. How faithless we are. Please forgive us. Help us to learn that you are actively involved in our lives, not as a puppet master, but as a creative co-worker seeking healing and hope, not only for each of us, but for the whole world. Make us into disciples of peace and compassion, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I declare to you the great news that is revealed to us in Scripture, that God has indeed in his fatherly love taken action, sent the Son, who came and being faithful unto his Father, even to the point of death, has permanently and perfectly atoned for all our sin. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Now, please be seated and let's sing together number 647 in the red hymnal. At this point, we'd like to invite all the children to come down up front with Miss Sheila for a time of learning just for them.
Our miss that just had a birthday. Who would that be? Leah just had a birthday, didn't you? How old are you now?
It's Tuesday.
How old are you now? 14. Wow, she's getting old. Aren't we glad none of us are getting old? None of us are getting old, are we? Our parents are, but we are not. That's very true. So today, what is today that we are celebrating around the world? What Hallmark holiday are we celebrating?
Father's Day.
What's a father?
Somebody who cares for us.
Your dad. What else is a father? Can a father sometimes be funny?
Yes.
Can a father sometimes be not so funny? Yeah, you're right. Can a father sometimes be very, very, very silly? Yep. Some of us are fortunate to have grandparents, grandfathers, aunts, uncles. So a father is a parent who loves you, cares for you, watches over you. Unfortunately, not all boys and girls have fathers that do those things, and unfortunately, not all boys and girls have fathers. Our church sponsors a place way over in Kenya. Do you know the name of that place? It's a really hard name to say. Say it really loud. Kajiado Children's Home is in Kenya, and that's where boys and girls live whose moms and dads aren't with them anymore. So there's a lot of different ways that fathers look. Well, in trying to figure out and praying about what to say today and think about today, there's two verses that are really important to me. There's a bunch, but two I always think of, and I actually use at work a lot. I work at a clinic for forgetting called dementia, and I often talk to their caregivers. One of the Ten Commandments talks about honoring somebody. Do you remember the Ten Commandments and who it tells us that we're supposed to honor? It tells us to honor our mothers and our fathers so the days will be long. Now, what does honor mean? Does that mean we're supposed to put a crown on their head or a red carpet and let them walk on it?
No. That's a good start.
No. What does that mean? What do you think it means? What do you think it means, Luke? Right, to thank them. That's a very good thing to do. What else might it mean? One of the things they're going to often tell you is a word that starts with O. Obey them. It tells them, you know, you're supposed to honor me, you're supposed to obey me, things like that. Honor means to show respect, to love them, to tell them thank you, to give them the respect as an adult and as their parent they deserve. There's an equally important verse in the Bible that y'all need to remember to talk to your mom and dad about. In Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child the way they'll go and they'll return there. So important to being a parent is to be a trainer. And you need to remind your moms and dads and your adults that you're watching them. They're teaching you. When they stump their toe and they're fussing and cussing, say, I'm watching you. But when they're giving you a hug and a kiss at night, you say, I'm watching you. Well, I'll tell you about a man that was important in my life, and that's my dad. This picture was taken here at church. His name was J.D. Black, and he actually had dementia. He began to forget as he grew older, but he loved his son and daughters. He loved his grandkids, but guess who else he loved very much? These are his grand dogs. Loved his grand dogs. One of the ways that we honor our parents is we remember stories. We remember fun stories. So I'm going to tell you one fun story about my dad, and then I want you to tell me a fun story. So be thinking about a fun dad story. Even before my dad began to forget, he was at my house here in Charlotte, and he came in and he said, Sister, those cookies are no good. He always called me sister, and I said, well, Dad, what cookies were you eating? Because I didn't have any cookies in the house. And he said, those by the refrigerator. And I said, well, Dad, those are the dog biscuits. He said, oh, good grief. No wonder they weren't good. That's kind of my dad's humor. He would do funny, silly things. Does somebody have a funny story they'd like to tell about their dad?
or a fun story, or a story that's important to you. Can you think of a time when your dad was especially important to you? It's kind of hard to think. Can anybody?
No.
Luke's being quiet. Yes, sir.
So we were in the store on top, and I was messing in the safes, and I almost got in one and locked myself in. My dad ran over there and got me out.
Oh, your dad saved you from being locked in the safe. That's rather important, isn't it? Will you do that again? No, unless Dad's around. If Dad's around, he's going to save you from the safe. That's a good story. Leah?
That's a funny story.
Yeah. Uh-oh, keeps on happening. Okay. Splashes you. Do you think he does that on purpose?
Yes.
So dads can be funny and mischief and do things on purpose, can't they? Anybody else have a fun or interesting story they want to tell about their dad? Yes, sir. He always swears. I think he's probably swerves. Does he do that on purpose? Yeah. To make you laugh? And to make your mom go, ah! Yeah. He's a good dad. How many of your folks have gone to sports events?
Read you a bedtime story. We show love in lots of ways, through reading, through playing games, through going to sports, through saying, son, you probably need to go change that shirt.
To be strong. So y'all listen, okay? And today, make sure you tell and honor your father. Okay? Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Freddie and I were up here going, like, let's move it along. We don't want to inspire the kids, right? Too much, right? Well, as the kids return to their seats, we come now into a time of reading and declaring and proclaiming the word. We do so, as always, with a word for a prayer, rather, for illumination. Join me now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you draw us even nearer to you as your word is read and proclaimed. Reveal for us what you would have us know, do, and be so that we might continue to shine your light so brightly in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament scripture this morning is actually Psalm 4. I know that's not what the bulletin said, but trust me. Psalm 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are seeking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Thank you, Freddie. Part of the confusion I think that we're feeling this morning is that later in the week, I switched away from the sermon series I was going to return to, Authentically Christian, in light of the fact that this is Father's Day. And of course, I think as most everyone here knows, that this is the first Father's Day where I greet it without the knowledge of my dad being around. My dad, of course, as you know, passed away in September. And in that light of the loss, and in the great good news that Jesus Christ shares with us about where we can anticipate those who believe end up, which is, of course, the eternal kingdom of God, there is comfort and there is peace in that. But I will confess that grief is a strange thing. Grief sometimes can seemingly disappear for a day, a week, or a season, but then it comes screaming back on you like some of those brood 10 cicadas, gone for so many periods of years, but then arising out of the earth and everywhere once again. Anything can set this off, of course, a remembrance, being in a particular place that reminds you. And while the initial memory is indeed sweet, it's always tinged with just a bit of bitterness. So today is, I confess, an odd day for me. We will gather at my mom's house as we did most years. We will celebrate fatherhood. And we will miss my father, without question. He was a good man and a very good father. And yet, it's in that space of knowing God, of knowing God's goodness and knowing God's strength, of knowing God's mercy, that the tears won't come as easily, right? Because we recognize that this world broken by sin is but a temporary one, and that the words of the scriptures are always so clear that weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in that space of knowledge, we can look back and say, what a good God we have. Because just like we did for Mother's Day, every good and positive trait that fathers possess and show into the world, we know arises from a certain source, a divine one, a holy one, an eternal Father that exists for us in heaven, waiting, in a sense, for our full return as the kingdom comes. So today, when the sadness of my dad's passing arises, it will be hopefully easier to quell with the knowledge of our great big God. I call him that because one day many years ago, one of my children were traveling in the car, and they were talking about having two fathers. And that really kind of surprised me, right? That's news. And that's when she said, you know, that's when they said that they had a big father and a little father. And I thought, well, I'm usually the big one. And she said, no, you're the little one. The big God is our God and Father in heaven. And we do have a God and Father in heaven. We're not orphans. The Bible tells us that repeatedly, that we're not left alone to fend for ourselves, as many unfortunately are, who either through death or absence or neglect grow up without a father. And so I recognize that that, given the number of people here, is likely the story of some of us. And for that we weep. It isn't God's intent or God's plan that we not all have good fathers. And yet what we can know with absolute certainty is that God, our Father, the big Father, will do so many things for us that we can hardly begin to enumerate them all. And the first one that fathers do in general, and Father, our big Father in heaven, does, is they provide. You know, I was really blessed. I had a father that really did provide. He worked in New York City, so he was often away from home, flying up and then back in. And at first, it seemed very glamorous, you know, when I would hear people talk about traveling. But it was talking with my dad later that I, after he had retired, that I recognized that what seemed so glamorous to me was, in fact, really hard work and a chore, being in and out of airports, living away from home, being separated at times for your family and your children. And although he didn't say it, I knew, he did all of those things because he wanted to provide for my sister and I. And so we were blessed with a very privileged upbringing, private schools, and just about anything we could want or imagine. And again, those things are really nice, but what Dad was best at, what Dad had the ability to do, was just not make you worry about anything. He was so thorough in his provision that we didn't have a thought of the electricity going out or the water being shut off. Those thoughts were never in our mind. And yet there was a limit to Dad's ability to provide. That is not, thankfully, a provision that God, or not, thankfully, a limitation that God is encumbered by. As a matter of fact, God can do anything God desires. That's the word that we hear. And what God desires, what He really appears to yearn for as we pour into the pages of Holy Scripture, is He desires all His creation to be peaceful and provided for. Our Father in heaven, we know that in the very first, at the very beginning, He spoke words. Just imagine the power. I say words all the time, and I can't hardly turn off a light with them. Can't, unless I become a Jedi Knight or something like that. But God's word is so powerful that merely speaking draws into creativity and the act of creation. And we know that He provided all these things because when we read Genesis, we read what was the final thing He created. It was you and me. It was man and woman. In a way, everything that we ever encounter is, in fact, a blessing from our God meant to sustain, to provide for us forever. And again, we hear this repeatedly. We go back into our Old Testament, and even, and this is important, because we know in those early generations of humanity that the sin was so great, that they became so wicked, that God chose in time to flood the earth. And I thankfully Noah and his family and a whole lot of animals were able to be on that ark and to survive the flood. And God, we know through the rainbow, has made a covenant with us that that will never happen again. And that's wonderful. But hear what God says to Noah right after the waters have receded to the point that he's able to step his foot on wet land. He says this in Genesis 9, verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. Right? Here at the very worst that humanity can do, is the word of God to provide. We know that even more especially as we come into the New Testament and experience God's provision for us, not only here, but in the kingdom to come. Paul writes about it. Paul writes about that God, that Father that is able to do and give more than we can even imagine. He writes this in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Did you catch that? You will be provided for. What you will have is sufficient. We talked last week about the problem of scarcity. We talked about how that wasn't a concern for Scripture, for Christians, and yet here is another verse that reminds us that what we truly need, God will provide. Scarcity isn't a problem when you have a Father in God as big and as large and as powerful as ours. Another attribute of my own father that I remember so clearly was his ability to keep us feeling very safe and protected. One incident stands out in particular. My mom had gone off, leaving my older sister and I alone for what was only to be an hour or so. But that hour was a calamitous one. First, the power went out. Second, unfortunately, the worst thunderstorm I think I'd ever seen blew in. And then finally, a complete stranger who looked kind of scruffy, if memory serves, rang our doorbell. We were terrified. The day was miserable. And yet about that time, it was a Thursday afternoon, I assume, because that was the time my dad would return from the airport. And my sister and I saw him with his suit on and his travel bag in his hand, and we were able to breathe. And as soon as he came in that house, we had no more thought about what was going on outside or what was attempting to come in. My dad was, as I've said, a good father, and good fathers protect. And yet there are things that go bump in the night that we can't, even as fathers, beat away. Not earthly fathers, but that big father in the sky certainly can. The God that we know has created is also the God that protects. We hear it in Old Testament and New. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Peter writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. These are powerful words of protection. God is saying to us that even as we go out into the world, as we who are disciples of Jesus Christ take our tunic and our bag and go out to make disciples, that we need not fear. We need not fear because the God who is our awesome God who provides is also an awesome God who protects. I also am so blessed to have learned so many things from my dad. Throwing a baseball, shooting a basket. One time he showed me how to drive a boat, although I think I forgot. If you put me in a boat, I might not do so great. But my dad was there when I needed to learn how to shave, when I needed help in the world. My dad was there to provide that strong word of instruction. And yet we know, just simply opening the words of Holy Scripture, that God our Father, who is protecting and providing for us, is also teaching us all the time, if we're willing. Both life and the Word of God can be for us a teaching. In fact, Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy, reminding us that all Scripture is heavenly inspired. God breathed is the Greek there. God breathed and useful for us, for teaching and for rebuke. Sometimes, you see, we come into the Word and we find ourselves not so much comforted, but convicted. God has a way of doing that, of screaming at us in black and white or maybe in circumstance, don't do this. Stay clear of this area, he yells. Because in his desire to provide and protect us, God knows that we are in an inherently unsafe place. It's not unsafe because of anything that God has done. No, unfortunately, it's a broken world because of what we've done. But yet in that space where there is uncertainty and the appearance of scarcity at times, what we can know and understand is that God is teaching us and that God wants the best for us. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Hebrews tells us a little bit more about how the Lord's wisdom and teaching can seem quite a bit like discipline. Hebrews 12:1 says, Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, and for what son is not disciplined by his father? God teaches us and disciplines us, and sometimes that obedience that he seeks is not really in our vocabulary. But what we remember is that we serve a gentle God, a God who does rebuke, but often does so mildly, who increases our concern and our worry only as we continue to veer off deeper and deeper down those dark roads, because God will provide, protect, and he will instruct us. You know, I always think about that great image as the one lost sheep is being carried back by the good shepherd. The one went after for 99 left behind. And I know it's a parable, but I can't help but thinking that along the way home, that our good shepherd is reminding us, don't do that again. Just like we do to our children when we see them have a pattern that is not good. But thankfully, God isn't all rebuke. God isn't all of that, because we know something else about this great Father God, that he loves us, right? That God loves us. You know, this becomes a bit of a problem for some, especially philosophers, right? Those guys are eggheads, right? I should know. The philosophers have this thing called the problem of the other mind. Sounds pretty abstract, it is. The idea is that there's nothing that at least satisfies philosophers that anything can be, that you can't prove that another person actually has a mind, right? Now, sometimes when we look at other political parties, we see that really very clearly, right? Come on, that's funny, right? And so when we see that very clearly, as I said, we sometimes change our tune a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that in this problem of the other mind, where we can't prove that other people's minds are really there, meaning it could all be a simulation, that's what they think. There's nothing you can prove, and I think there is. I think the presence of love is the one determining factor that says not only do other people have minds, but they also have God in them. Because where there is the ability to love, we know that God, who is love, must be there already. And what, when I think about love, is the clearest example? Is it a kiss on the cheek? Is it a hug goodnight? Or is it found some other place? The knowledge that love really exists. The knowledge that love really exists is made known to us clearly and manifestly through forgiveness. Right? I can think people like me for what I do, but when I do something that they don't like, what's the usual reaction? Well, apart from the bonds of love is abandonment, is loneliness, is isolation. And yet that's not the way of our God. Those are our ways. Because what our God says is, what you do does not matter. You are forgiven and loved through Jesus Christ. So repent, change your ways. That story goes on and on and on until the kingdom comes. But because we know that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, because we know that, we know there is forgiveness. Because Jesus came into the world not to condemn it, but rather to save it. God is a loving God, and as a function of that love, he forgives. Just like you've forgiven your children, just like I've forgiven mine, just like I've been forgiven. You see, I can recall a time when I was a young man, just 17, 18 years old, and I got up to University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And while the classes were, well, they were somewhat interesting, the fraternity that I was going to join was really interesting. I ended up attending, I think it was 4 or 6 classes, and I don't mean in one particular section, I mean the whole year, the whole semester. Yeah, I know, 6 classes. Well, you can imagine what happened. I recorded a very, very low GPA and was not invited back the next semester. I didn't tell my dad that. And in fact, I had gone back up to Carolina just to party, figuring my parents would figure it out when they needed to. But then a knock came on the door of my dorm room. It was my dad. He said, "Son, you're coming with me." And he had that look in his eyes that told me, like a father, I wasn't going to mess with him on this. So I trudged down into his car, and we began the long trek back to Charlotte, North Carolina, down I-85 South. It was overcast. I was sad. I thought my dad was mad at me, and he was. He was. But as we got toward the end of that trip, my dad said the words that have become the watchword, that my kids have heard it, and I hope if they choose to have kids, they hear it as well. He said to me, "Son, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what." And maybe I tested that at times, I can't say, but we all know there's a point at which, in the earthly context, that love breaks. And that's why it's so important, so vitally important, that we recognize and remember that there is, in fact, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came into this world not only to provide, not only to protect, not only to teach and to instruct, but to love us through a specific act, through laying his own life down on the cross there at Calvary. He died, an innocent man punished for something he had no business punishing for. And yet he lives. The declaration of Easter, the declaration that draws us and binds us to this church and to this sanctuary, is that Jesus Christ didn't really die forever. That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit because God loves his Son and his Son loves us. And so through his death, our sins are atoned for. Through his ascension into heaven, we know that that space that we desire so much, that space where there's no weeping, no sadness, no sickness, no crying, we know that's been secured for us through the act of Jesus Christ. Ernest Hemingway tells a story. It's a great one. I like Ernest Hemingway. It's a short story called The Capital of the World. And it tells the story of these second-tier bullfighters in Madrid in the 1910s. These bullfighters, each one of them, you learn more about. They've got backstories, if you will. And you learn more about them, you see why they had some measure of success, but now have failed. One of the stories involves a young man, Paco, who at a very early age decided he wanted to be a bullfighter, and he left his family behind to come to Madrid. And while he tasted a measure of success, it wasn't the level that he had hoped for. And then finding the sorrow and the sadness gnawing at his heart, he lived a life as a broken man. But his father who was angry with him for leaving behind the family and leaving off into the great unknown, comes his heart sorrowful. Comes to the city of Madrid, and of course this is the era in which there's no phones or easy means to reach someone. And so the father puts an advertisement in the town's newspaper, The National. It says, "Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me at the Hotel Montana at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Love, Dad." It struck a chord when Paco saw it, and yet when Paco arrived at that bar that his father had suggested that he come to, he did see his dad, but he also saw hundreds of Pacos. Paco is a common name, and this need for forgiveness, so deep, so powerful. Isn't it good to know on this Father's Day that our big father, the guy upstairs, the fathering God who has sent Jesus Christ to save us and who is with us even now in the power of his Holy Spirit, that God has declared his love for us forever. And because that God is on our side, friends, ain't nobody can be against us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come now into a time of prayer. This is a prayer that we lift up knowing and having heard of both of our forgiveness as well as our vivification through the Holy Spirit. We come knowing and trusting that God not only hears our prayers but does indeed answer them. And so we pray with the faith and the knowledge of all the saints, lifting up our concerns, our worries, our fears, our brokenness to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Father God, we come rejoicing. Rejoicing because you are indeed our Father, that we are not orphans in this galaxy. We're not simply evolved, dead space dust. We are instead your creation, spoken into existence by your holy and everlasting word, forgiven through the Son, and sustained through the power of the Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we who are in you come before you, beseeching you to take care of the issues, not only in our world, but in the world. For we know there's only one power, one source of all authority, one king. And that that king desires for us all peace and joy and love. Oh Lord, we recognize that he loves us in a way that perhaps we can't even love ourselves, and in those dark and lonely places where we just don't like ourselves, we can lean so perfectly on the fact that our Father loves us no matter what. And so we bring before our Father, knowing he's a God of provision, knowing that no word that he utters comes back blank and void. We lift up our prayers to God, knowing and trusting that he will take care of the things that we are frightened of. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray today for the members of Cook's who continue to struggle, either with their health or other matters. And so we pray for Kay Matthews. We pray for Jimmy McClure. We pray for Pauline Harper. We pray for Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Steve Gilmore. Heavenly Father, we pray not only for these names that we've named individually, but as well as all of the names on our prayer list, all of the names that weigh down our hearts. We pray for, we know that whether they are sick or grieving or lonely or even anxious, that you are indeed providing, and will continue to do so. Because as you provide, protect, instruct, and love, you simply reveal to us yourself and your everlasting love. We make all these prayers, remembering our Father God, praying for the fathers here with us that have gone on into the great cloud of witnesses and those yet to be. Oh Lord, lifting them all up, praying that you provide them strength, that you provide them wisdom, and that you provide them joy in their duties and responsibilities. And we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. We make them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, concluding with the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come now to a time of giving of our tithes and offerings, hearing the words commands that we act as cheerful givers. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your provision, rich and wonderful. And, oh Lord, as we return a portion of those blessings back to you now, we just ask that through your power, that you would sanctify this offering, using it to bring light into this world in the name, the powerful and holy and everlasting name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We are so blessed, aren't we? Please be seated. We're so blessed to have the strings, aren't we? Gosh, they are such a wonderful blessing to come and to play for us, so thank you again. Thank you for all your times of playing for us. It is indeed a pleasure. Friends, we go now out into the world, hopefully lifted up through the knowledge that we do all, every one of us, have a Father that loves us, that provides for us, that protects us, even when perhaps we're not aware of it. We are loved, and as our mission, as our goal, we're sent out into the world. Because there are people out those doors that didn't have good fathers. There are people out those doors that are living empty lives. There are people out those doors, friends, that are heartbroken and sin sick. And guess what? They're supposed to be with us. So let's go out and find them. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
I invite you.